You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. We're watching economic numbers on Wall Street and off, and some numbers out of Washington off Wall Street this morning. The consumer price index drops 0.1% in August. That's the first dip in nearly 2 years. Energy is the reason, but the underlying inflation rate is still fairly strong. It's up 0.2%. That's if you take energy and food out. That's called the core inflation rate. So if you look on Wall Street, there's not a lot of winners, mostly losers. 500-point drop in the Dow yesterday and the dissolution of at least two banks, Lehman Brothers going bankrupt and the sale of Merrill Lynch to Bank of America. There's more fallout on that today. But who's a winner? Well, listen to Henry Paulson, the Secretary of the Treasury.
I commend the SEC and the Fed for their work over the weekend, convening leaders of financial institutions from around the world to meet the current challenges and put measures in place to reduce market stresses.
Reduce market stresses? Well, you know, don't call your doctor if you are feeling like stresses on the market aren't reduced. If you're thinking about the economy today, we want to hear from you at 877-8-MY-TAKE. And if you have a question for our next guest, Ron Lieber is personal finance reporter for The New York Times. He joins us from New York. Ron, thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
We've got a lot of questions for you. Basically, people reacting to what's going on in the market, to what should they do? Is there a takeaway for them in a 500-point drop in the Dow Jones Industrial Average? Here's a first question right off the top.
Good morning. This is Troy calling from North Dakota. And I've heard certain politicians give credit to Bill Clinton for the economic prosperity of the 90s. And I've heard Barack Obama blame George Bush and his administration for the current financial crisis. And my question for an economic expert is this: how much real impact can one president have on the economy?
Ron Lieber, your answer?
I think it's a mistake at this point to point fingers, assign blame, or assign credit to anyone. You know, if there is any blame to be cast in this particular situation, it's towards, the governmental institutions that perhaps should have regulated, the mortgage industry more tightly. But then again, at the same time that many of these loans were, these trouble loans were, these loans that became trouble were beginning out a couple of years ago, there was a big push from all corners, from Republicans, from Democrats, to expand access to housing. There was, it's sort of an accepted fact, accepted wisdom that we should try and make everyone or almost everyone a homeowner. And, it's these the troubled loans and the securities that, that the loans turned into that became part of the problem. So, on the one hand, you have a desire for increased ownership and increased homeownership. On the other hand, you have a lack of regulation that allowed a few too many people into bad loans.
And again, many, many actors both driving that up and now dealing with it on the way down. Derek in St. Paul put this on the New York Times website, a question directly for you. Speaking of regulation a moment ago, the insurance industry is regulated. Many, many people have life insurance with AIG or one of its subsidiaries. What is the impact of troubled AIG's financial woes on potential life insurance payouts? Should we be looking elsewhere for insurance, asks Derek.
A couple things to think about here. First of all, AIG is still in business. The insurance sides of their business remained financially sound by most accounts. They have the ability to pay out claims today and tomorrow. Now, what happens in the next couple of days because of any sort of potential unraveling on the other side, on other parts of the business, we do not know. But there are guarantee agencies and states in place that cover payouts up to, $300,000 or more in certain states on life insurance. So there is some protection, and if it comes to that, people can also file claims if the company's dissolved. So, it probably would not be a total loss. But again, we're a few steps away from that even needing to be a concern.
Here's a heartbreaker sent to the New York Times site. Tony asks, how will this affect my mutual funds and my 401k? I'm beginning to think I should move my money fast. It's too late for fast, isn't it?
But too late for fast. I mean, we're down, however far down we are at this point from the market's peaks at 20% or more. Panic selling almost never works because, if you're looking at investing over the long haul, the barons of Wall Street have not been able to call the bottom or figure out when the right time was to buy in. The best you can do as an individual investor is to move slowly and deliberately, put chunks of money in at various stages and diversify your assets and hope for the best. We've never seen a downturn that hasn't been followed at some point by an upturn. There's no reason to think that the financial world is changing and ending as we know it at this particular moment.
Ron, I hope you're right. I really do. Here's another one from Peggy, which was sent to the New York Times website. She writes, I'm getting ready to buy a house, and I have a property under contract as of today. What do you think mortgage rates will do?
Mortgage rates are difficult to predict on a short-term basis, let alone a long-term basis. What we do know is that mortgage rates have fallen a fair bit by, almost half a percentage point in the last week and a half. The 30-year fixed-rate mortgage, which is what I hope most people are looking at now that we've learned our lessons about adjustable-rate mortgages, that rate is below 6% last I checked. That's a great rate, particularly at a time when housing prices have fallen, 20-25% in some areas. So I would say, lock that rate in and do not attempt to bet on where mortgage rates will go and, hope we'll be at, 5.5% in a couple of weeks.
So stop betting on mortgage rates. Lock that in. That's a good takeaway. Don't worry about insurance quite so much. And if you haven't diversified, you better do it yesterday. Ron Lieber, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Ron Lieber is personal finance reporter for the New York Times.
Or should we blame the images on TV?
No, blame Canada!
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.